the cool things we can do, we can do, we can do. We love the cool things we can do on our computer.
When you need to talk technology, no one gets you more gigs in your hard drive than Adam. It's time for Adam the Computer Guy with Adam Lepp.
Yes, Adam Lepp, that's my name, and talking today's top technology topics on Tuesday and Thursday. That's what we do here on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show on the Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 frequency modulation, which again is often denoted as FM, or if you're not within about 12, 15 miles of Marion, that's okay. We have listeners all over the great world, the great solar system that we reside in. You can listen online at our fine, fabulous, and famous website, WWGH1071.com. Another great way to listen if you have a mobile device, tablet or iPhone or Android phone or what have you, is use the TuneIn app, which you can get from the App Store, Play Store, whatever you call it. Look up WWGH 107.1, make us a favorite, bookmark us, and you can listen to the station anytime you wish by, as I say, clicking on the little triangle thingy. If you're a new listener to the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, well, welcome aboard. It's glad to have you with us. A little cooler today than it's been, thank goodness, because I really wasn't ready for sweltering heat as of yet. We discuss topics related to technology. Maybe your smartphone is actually not very smart. Maybe your printer is only printing gibberish. Maybe your server is serving you headaches, or perhaps you had a question about a new printer that you'd like to purchase, or maybe getting your own modem for your internet connection, or some software that was confusing, or maybe you think you got a virus. Well, that isn't much fun. So you can call here, leave a message. I have a live video that's available through my Facebook as well as the radio station's Facebook. So leave a message on the live video, a message on our Facebook, on my Facebook, or best yet, just do it the old-fashioned way, using Ma Bell. Yes, ringy, ringy, ringy here in the studio. The number is 740-383-9944. As I mentioned, I am broadcasting on a live video. If you're not already a friend of mine, please become one. We'd love to have you as part of my virtual listening family. Look up Adam the Computer Guy or Adam Lepp in Ohio. You can also view the video through the radio station's Facebook page. Look up WWGH 107.1. Thank you, Phyllis, for watching, a frequent watcher of my video. She lives on the far west side of Columbus. Unfortunately, our signal doesn't travel that far, but again, she is wise enough to know that just using the TuneIn app or the website on her phone or laptop or tablet is the way to go. So let's see here, approximately 15 minutes after 9 in the a.m. As you may know, I often have my, I call him brother in broadcasting, Nick CJ from Wales in the United Kingdom, on as a co-commentator. Is that a word, co-commentator? Well, we'll make up that word if it's not. He will be on more than likely later in this hour. Additionally, next hour, I have a new and temporary show, and it's called Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam. And on that show, we, of course, can discuss computer topics, but you can pretty much discuss anything you like. As I say, anything and everything. Politics, sports, controversial topics, yeah. School prayer, equal rights. Let's see, what else could we... Abortion, there's a good controversial topic. Sure, we could talk about those kind of topics on Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam, because that's how we roll. And that's on next hour between approximately 10:13 a.m. and 11 in the a.m. But during this show, we discuss technology topics, computers, and other things like that. Again, smartphones that aren't quite that smart, and goodness sakes, almost anything else. And I'd love to hear from you. Again, questions about things we've discussed on previous shows, or perhaps you don't agree with me, or you had a question or comment or insight related to some of the topics that have previously been pontificated. Again, feel free to give me a call live in the studio at 740-383-9944. Of course, on this show, as well as the next show, rarely does an hour go by that something related to the White House, I call him the President-Donald, you know, our president, Mr. Trump, who recently became 71 years old. Gosh, older than me, but not by much. Anyway, and things going on in the government and information security, those kind of things. This is a article that came across my desk as I was preparing for the show, and I found it to be very, I was very shaken by this article because it's a potentially very serious problem. There's a security firm called UpGuard, and they look at information technology and information, and if data is getting into the wrong hands, and if so, what to do about it. They have reported, and this came about yesterday, this is some very new news, that personal information of almost 200 million, that's about, you know, two-thirds of the U.S. population, personal information of almost 200 million registered U.S. voters was accidentally exposed online due to an improperly configured security setting. So that's close to all the registered voters in the country, which includes me. And personal information was accidentally exposed, and that ain't too good. This leaked information, compiled by Republican data firm Deep Root Analytics, and according to CNN Technology, a recent article that they've published, the information was compiled by Deep Root Analytics and two other Republican contractors, included names, birth dates, addresses, voter registration details, and social media posts. I'd like to thank Adam for watching the live video. Not me, but Adam in Texas. He's also in the broadcasting business, and I appreciate he's called the show before. Appreciate his being a part of the Adam the Computer Guy radio show. Anyway, Chris Vickery, he is an expert in the field. He is a cyber risk analyst with UpGuard, a security firm that published the information. He discovered an open database of 198 million voters last week, and it was secured on June 14th, a couple days after it was discovered. Putting that number into context, Politico reported last October that the United States had just a little more than 200 million voters. So almost every registered voter's information, which probably includes yours truly, was exposed due to what was probably some negligence. And to put it mildly, I'm not a very happy camper hearing about that. Now, about 1.1 terabytes. Now, that's quite a lot, 1.1 terabytes. A terabyte's 1,000 gigabytes. So a lot of data over 1 terabyte was available to download, and it was not password protected. Chris Vickery, again, a risk analyst, he told CNN Tech that this is the DNA of voter analysis. It's exactly what they use to determine how someone is likely to vote on a specific issue. They said in a statement that the data was exposed on June 1st when the firm updated security settings. And this is by Deep Root. And they were involved in this data that was compiled. They're a Republican data firm. Anyway, they said that it, quote, builds voter models to help enhance advertiser understanding of TV viewership. The Republican National Committee said in a statement that it has stopped further work with Deep Root, quote, pending the conclusion of their investigation into security procedures. Now, their database was on the open Amazon S3 storage server, and it highlights the years-long effort by companies to stockpile data about American voters. The database includes information from the 2008, 2012, and 2016 presidential campaigns. The files from last year were not as comprehensive as preceding years. Now, this leaked data included posts scraped from Reddit. The text from those posts could be used for training computers to recognize language sentiment or to watch specific subreddits to see how people were feeling about political topics. Some of the exposed information, like voter registration, is public record, but states have different ways of letting people access it and rules on how it can be used. So, due to some negligence by a firm that compiles voter data, information about people who vote, again, their Facebook information, names, and addresses was leaked. What do you think about that? Do you think we need to tighten up security and be sure that information does not get in the right hands or on the right servers? I think we certainly should. Feel free to call me. Let me know what you think. Phone number here at the studio. Don't be shy. Give me a call. I'd love to hear from you. 740-383-9944. My name is Adam Lepp, also known as Adam the Computer Guy. And you are listening to the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, a twice weekly feature on the Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 on your FM dial, and broadcasting online via the power and magic of the internet on our wonderful website at WWGH 1071.com. What else is going on today in the world of technology, you might ask? Well, lots of things. We discussed a data leak of voter registration information. Again, I'm not very pleased about that. Let's see what else is going on. As I mentioned earlier, it's hard to have an Adam the Computer Guy or Adam show in general without a discussion of some kind regarding the President Donald, as I call him, or U.S. President Mr. Donald J. Trump. 6 months. That's hard to say. 6 months. I can't say that. 6 months. Months. Okay. Anyway, how about half a year? That's easier. Half a year after top technology chief executive officers met with President Donald Trump for the first time, they came back for round two, and this time, the tensions leading up to the meeting are, not surprisingly, even greater. The CEOs of Apple, Microsoft, Amazon, and Google's parent company, Alphabet, joined more than a dozen other tech leaders for the first meeting yesterday, took place yesterday, again, CEOs of the top tech companies, Alphabet, which is the parent company of Google, Apple, Microsoft, Amazon, they joined more than a dozen other tech leaders for the first meeting of the American Technology Council, and that took place yesterday. The group met with President Donald Trump and other members of his administration throughout the day. The main agenda, at least on paper, was to talk through ways to modernize the government's technology infrastructure. President Trump said in opening remarks, "Our goal is to lead a sweeping transformation of the federal government's technology that will deliver dramatically better services to the citizens and stronger protection from cyber attacks." President Trump introduced the tech executives as, quote, special people who employ, quote, hundreds of thousands of American workers and are, quote, on the absolute cutting edge of innovation. President Trump was flanked by Apple CEO Tim Cook, Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella. Satya Nadella, again, the CEO of Microsoft, called for continuing and, quote, enlightened immigration policy to boost American competitiveness. The meeting comes after months of clashes between technology companies and President Trump, including legal battles over both versions of Donald Trump's travel ban and a rollback of protections for transgender students. Most recently, the tech industry criticized Donald Trump over his decision to pull out of the Paris Climate Accord. Despite these clashes over philosophies and what has been done by the Trump administration, the technology industry sees an opportunity. They hope to build a working relationship with the White House on the bipartisan issue of modernizing government. And there is potential to use the day's meetings to broach more specific topics, according to attendees and those who work with technology companies on government issues. So, a big meeting of technology bigwigs with the President took place yesterday. Stuart Verderi, a lobbyist with Monument Policy Group, who works with Amazon and Microsoft, said, "This is really safe ground. The question is, how much does the president bring up issues that are more controversial, or do the executives? All the stuff that made the relationship difficult, does that come up?" So, current time is 28 minutes after 9 in the a.m. What do you think about that? Meetings of technology executives from Amazon, Microsoft, Apple, and other companies, CEOs that make a lot more money than I do and probably are a lot smarter than I do, meeting yesterday in a summit of sorts with the President. Leave me a message on my live Facebook video on our radio station Facebook page. Or, even better, just call the station. I'd love to hear from you. The number here in the studio is 740-383-9944. Warming up here, nice clear sky in mid-Ohio. Beautiful day. I guess summer is going to start in a few hours. Of course, it's felt like summer for the last month or two, but officially summer will start this week. It is the summer solstice, the biggest day of the year, with twilight beginning at about 5 a.m. and twilight ending at about 10 p.m. So the most daylight we're going to see anytime in 2017. Always an interesting time. And after that, the days get shorter, even though the temperature still continues to warm up for the next 4 weeks or so. Again, you can give me a call. I would just love to hear from you. 740-383-9944. That's the number in the studio at 5590 Center Street in historic Marion, Ohio. Did mention earlier that my frequent commentator, brother in broadcasting of sorts from the United Kingdom, Mr. Nick C.J., will be joining us during the show. And I have good news. He'll be joining me probably in about a minute or two, talking about technology topics or whatever else might be on his mind. Maybe we can discuss the summit taking place between the President and, of course, those technology leaders. And that took place yesterday. Of course, over in Wales, it's 2:30 in the p.m. So instead of saying, "Good morning, Nick," I'll say, "Good afternoon, my friend. And how are you doing today?"
Good afternoon, Adam. Very hot, 30 degrees here in the centigrade. Exceptionally hot. Just crazy. Can't cool the office down. Worst place to be with computers all running and warming the place up. Craziness.
So for those who don't speak metric like I do, 30 degrees centigrade, or also known as Celsius, that's a rather warm temperature, which I believe it would be equivalent to the upper 80s here in the United States.
That sounds even worse. Yes, I remember we did Fahrenheit until I think the 70s, and then suddenly we decided we'd go metric on that. But yes, way too hot here in the UK, and it's that funny heat. It's dry heat. Terrible.
I see. So no cacti. I guess cacti would be the plural of cactus. So no cacti are growing, no rattlesnakes like they have in the desert southwest in the United States. Just hot and dry and a little bit on the uncomfortable side.
Most definitely.
Nick, I guess you just tuned in. You had some computers to repair. But did you hear me talk about the technology summit where leaders of Microsoft and Apple and other companies that have a lot more money than I do met with the President Donald yesterday and talked about technology? Any thoughts on that?
No, I didn't see that. The only thing that I caught on the news was I think it must have been part of that, where the Donald sat at a table with all of his committee around him, and they had to praise him for about 15 minutes.
Well, the President Donald does like to be praised. As we know, he is into that kind of stuff.
Well, I watched it agog. I've never seen anything quite like it. And he was sitting there just lapping it up while people said how wonderful he was.
Well, there's a man who likes to be stroked, a man known for his ego, but a little confidence is okay. After all, he is the leader of the free world. So I guess it's important that he feels that he is a fantastic person. Whether or not people agree with that is a different matter.
We don't want him upset. He does have his finger on the button, so we want to keep him happy.
Well, I can certainly understand that. You're listening to the Adam the Computer Guy radio show with my frequent co-commentator Nick on the line with me. Now, you can still call the studio. Our phone line is open, 740-383-9944. A couple weeks ago, we had people call and actually asked Nick about some British cultural items, and we had a little fun discussion. So feel free to call. I don't bite, at least not too hard. I guess the WannaCry malware, Nick, is pretty much thankfully blown over. And it still exists and it still needs to be taken seriously. But isn't the serious nature of the problem has subsided since about a month ago when it first reared its ugly head?
Totally subsided here. The only thing that I noticed was there was suddenly an increase in the sale of antivirus and anti-malware programs, which I don't mind. But it is very odd how people sort of suddenly rush for it. It's like when they say there's a heat wave and then the stores all sell out of water. So, very like that.
You think that the fact that people took this very serious problem very seriously, it'll help to prevent future infections? That people learn their lessons, so to speak, about preventing this problem? Or is it going to continue with maybe a new piece of ransomware that may be coming down the pike in the near future?
I think that it's a mixed bag, really, because there's always a new scam that's coming out. So that people will get caught. I mean, my mother-in-law sent me an email a couple of days ago saying, why have you looked into cryptocurrency? That's the big thing. My friend has made hundreds and thousands of pounds through cryptocurrency. And I said, well, you know, that's bitcoins and things like that. She said, yes, she's made thousands and thousands. And I said, has she got any of those thousands in cash in her hand? Oh, no, she can't cash it, because if she cashes it, then there'll be penalties. So she has to keep buying and exchanging, but it's going up and up and up. I said, I think you'll find that when you get to the end of this cryptocurrency little set of bartering, there won't be anything left there. So that seems to be one of the current scams, and I did do a bit of research on it, and cryptocurrency schemes seem to be the latest thing now, where people have sold this currency. They can watch it online and see it grow. And of course, what they're watching is just basically a very good website, which is telling them that their money is growing. The fact that the money doesn't even exist and has probably been spent on a yacht in the Bahamas is by the by.
Yeah, the tech executives, Nick, who visited the White House yesterday for MasterCard, Amazon, OpenGov, Oracle, Apple, Kleiner Perkins — I've not heard of Kleiner Perkins — VMware, Palantir — never heard of them either — Intel, Akamai, SAP, Qualcomm, Microsoft, Adobe, IBM, Alphabet, which is essentially Google, Accenture, and the Founders Fund. So quite a lot of wealth there, but some very important people in the tech industry, in business in general, meeting with the president yesterday for the first meeting of the American Technology Council. Is the summer solstice big over there, Nick, like it is here, kind of a celebration of a change of seasons?
It is normally. I didn't know we were there yet, though.
Yeah, it's around the 21st approximately, but it is during this week when we have the most daylight. Here in the mid-Ohio, sunrise approximately 6, sunset about 9, so twilight between about 5 a.m. and 10 p.m. So a lot of daylight. It just seems so different. It's like it's almost always bright.
Well, I mean, we have lots of things that people use the summer solstice. We've got Stonehenge and a lot of henges which people use. They're all ancient monuments. Are you familiar with Stonehenge?
A little bit, yeah. Enough to know what it is, yes.
They're ancient sites that were built to coincide with summer solstice, all of the various solstices, and at the specific time, the sun shines through between two great monolithic rocks, and it's celebrated. But I didn't realize we were there. Yep. Where are we? Oh, 21st of June, Wednesday the 21st of June, yeah.
Yep, well,
bathed in sunlight for 16 hours and 38 minutes.
Yeah, time does fly, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Any tech news you wanted to share with us, Nick? Maybe about some new phones or tablets that are coming down the pike for our listeners?
Well, you were just asking me about the malware and the hacks and things, and I've just looked up. I thought I'd do a bit of quick research so I could pretend I knew what I was talking about. And it's the top thing on the BBC News is South Korean firm pays $1 million to unlock files. A company called Nayana negotiated with hackers who had originally asked for $4.4 million to unlock their malware frozen machines. And apparently they have paid up $1 million. So that is, it's still on the go in various parts of the country, obviously. And they paid in Bitcoin.
Yeah, it just seems a shame that something like that has to have such an effect on the business world. But in 2017, that's going to happen.
Yeah, apparently this ransomware, known as Erebus, E-R-E-B-U-S, targeted computers running Microsoft Windows and also, a variant works against Linux-based machines, which is very unusual that Linux is attacked in that way.
Yeah, I mean, we know as people that run web servers that Linux is not necessarily immune from infections, but it's hard to infect the code. Plus, it's open source. You're allowed and encouraged to change it, to hack it, to modify it, to customize it. And the fact that it would infect this operating system, which runs most of the web and email servers in the world, that's rather troublesome.
All of our Amazons and everything are running on that. That is frightening. I thought this there's a phrase in here which I thought was very appropriate because we're always told not to pay the hackers because they have no ethics and no morals. Otherwise, they wouldn't do what they do. And it says here, it appears that Nayana entered into negotiations with the hackers, lowering the fee from $4.4 million to less than $500,000, although at the last minute, the hackers doubled the negotiated amount to $1 million. So I think that is so unethical that you could how does the hacker double the negotiated amount? Because that's not negotiated then,
yeah,
is it?
Yeah, I mean, it's like they'll take anything because it's still profit. And, I mean, not just unethical, but criminal. And I like to see that kind of thing obviously eradicated. But I'm afraid in our technology dominated society and all the gullible people, that's probably not going to happen.
Yeah, well, it's the other thing is that there's some comments here about 2 years ago, they always targeted individuals and smaller businesses, believing they'd have less security measures, but they found they can get bigger targets and the payoff is that much bigger, which it obviously is if they can get $1 million out of somebody just by literally holding them hostage. It's a frightening thing. I mean, our National Health Service, or the English National Health Service, the Welsh one wasn't affected, but you know, that is a big organisation and affected a lot of people's health as well, because people who had operations booked and things like that had to cancel them.
Kind of troublesome. Also troublesome, Nick, I talked about this beginning of the show, is that data from almost every voter in the United States, 200 million, and we have just over 200 million registered voters, was leaked by a firm that was compiling data. It was more for previous years, 2008 and 2012, but also affected 2016. And it included Facebook and social media information, names, addresses, phone numbers, etc. We really need to hammer down security and make sure that information that is compiled by these firms gets in the right hands.
Yes, definitely. Definitely.
You know, I'm not really sure what the solution is, but if a company can't respect the privacy of data, they should not be used. And it's obviously very troublesome.
Well, I mean, things with people's health data, for instance, I mean, there can be a lot of secret information in there that you wouldn't want out in the public domain.
Any other tech news or tech anecdotes you'd like to share with us today, Nick? You always have a couple stories up your sleeve, rarely at a loss for information, anecdotes, or other tidbits that will always enlighten our audience.
There's a U.S. suffers the biggest ever voter data breach. There, we're back into data. Let me just have a quick look at that one, because that one is, this is all the BBC news, so you don't see a lot of this. Sensitive personal data relating to 200 million U.S. citizens. Have you heard this one over there?
Yeah, that's what I just talked about.
That's the one.
Marketing
firm. Yeah. That was a marketing firm contracted. So that's a third party handling data like that. Crazy.
A little scary. We can't even trust these firms that we pay money to. They should be paying us if they're going to leak the data.
Yeah. But that's, of course, the government hiring these people in. And we're doing that in the UK. Our government doesn't have the resources, basically, in-house, because they start laying people off. And so then they buy in separate companies. Are you familiar with Virgin over in the States? Do you have them a lot, Richard Branson's companies?
Is that Virgin Wireless or a different Virgin?
No, well, Virgin do everything here. We've got Virgin Airlines.
Yeah, I've heard of Virgin Airlines.
Yeah, they're all owned and principally by Richard Branson. He does Virgin Airlines. He does the Virgin Record label. He does Virgin Broadband and Wi-Fi here. He's now contracting to do the National Health Service. He's going to be taking on hospitals. This is a guy who actually doesn't physically do or own anything. I went for a day to a Toshiba technology event, and it was at the Toshiba's headquarters here in the UK, and they said, you might see a lot of people walking around with Virgin t-shirts on, Virgin golf shirts on. And I said, yes. And he said, well, they're all Toshiba employees. And I said, well, how does that work? And he said, well, Virgin Cable doesn't actually exist. It's really Toshiba Cable. It's all run by Toshiba, but they sublet it basically and brand it as Virgin. So the same thing is happening for our National Health Service, where Virgin are going to be running parts of our National Health Service. But of course, it won't be Virgin, it will be a company that they bring in. Oh, and Virgin Trains. We've got Virgin Trains as well. A quarter of the trains in the UK are Virgin Trains.
All we have is Like a Virgin by Madonna. You got Virgin everything over there. That wasn't even that funny. I must be be in rare form today.
It did tickle my fancy. I've got another one up about Tesla. Tesla has got an autopilot built into the front of their cars. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, I saw that on CNN Tech, some rumblings over there at Tesla. Why don't you go ahead and share it with our audience?
Tesla driver involved in a fatal crash in May 2016 was given repeated automated warnings about his driving behavior by the car. So the car had told him, you're not driving it very well, apparently, when they looked at its sort of black box. When they checked the black box in this Tesla, it found that in 37 minutes of driving, Mr. Brown had had his hands on the wheel for just 25 seconds. And he'd set the cruise control at 74 miles an hour, which was slightly above the 65 mile an hour speed limit.
So this black box information can be handy. He didn't take any warnings, which is very unsettling. He was probably spending more time texting than he was looking at the road at 74 miles per hour.
Yeah. When they checked it, no braking, steering, or other actions to avoid the collision. So very frightening. Although I did hear a thing about, this was a long, long time ago, Winnebago's, the big cruising wagons that you have in the States there?
Yes.
About a chap who was on the motorway. This is pre-electric cars and pre-everything, and he was suing Winnebago for a lot of money because he'd put on his cruise control and gone in the back to make a cup of tea and obviously crashed.
So he wasn't even at the wheel. It was not an autonomous Winnebago. He went to make some tea and had it on cruise control?
It wasn't autonomous, no. He just had standard cruise control on it.
No other way to say it. What an idiot.
Oh, there's no accounting for people.
I mean, the worst I've really done is comb my hair while I was driving, and normally I do that at a traffic light. I certainly wouldn't be making a cup of tea. I'm not drinking my tea, but not making it. I mean, that requires some concentration, making sure that the bag is properly dipped in the hot water. And he's sitting there driving along in a Winnebago.
In the back.
Yeah, I mean, that's 10 times the weight of my car. You know, that's very scary that those things are happening.
Oh, well, I mean, I think this is when we get these electric cars on the road. That's, I think we had this discussion a few weeks ago on the Adam the Computer Guy show. You said, what did we think in the UK? And I was saying that, I mean, our roads are a lot smaller. All of our roads or a lot of our roads are country roads. And I don't think it could ever catch on here because the amount of times that you would have to jump in and help it, you'd end up having accidents. We were on a road last weekend. We went to go and pick up my daughter's cats from the cattery, and we probably did 6 miles on a road which would only take one car. It was one car wide with hedges either side, but because it was an unclassified road in the UK that has a speed limit of 60 miles an hour. Now, you couldn't physically drive it faster than 30, but on my sat-nav, it was telling me that the speed limit was, in fact, 60 because it's an unclassified road. But if you were in an automated car, which was relying on Google, etc., to tell you where you were, it would think you were on a road at which it could drive at 60 miles an hour. So that would just be crazy.
So a one-lane road at 60 mph, 100 kilometers per hour, that I wouldn't want to do that. That would scare me for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's between 20 and 30 is what you can physically do. But you're limited because of your human intelligence. Nobody would drive at that speed down those roads.
Well, but I certainly hope not.
No, but if the only data that your car has is from the national statistics and Google and everything else, which says that there is no speed limit on that road, there's nothing to stop it thinking it can do it, is there?
Nope. Let's hope that people use the old noggin, but as we know, with the person making the tea in the back of the Winnebago, some people don't. You are listening to the Tuesday edition of the Adam the Computer Guy radio show. We're on every Tuesday and Thursday between approximately 9:13 a.m. Eastern Time and 10. On the line with me, by the power and magic of the internet, well, of my little MacBook that's sitting here on the table, is Nick C.J. I sometimes call him my brother in broadcasting. I know he likes that term, and I think it's kind of cool. We are long-time business associates, and he lives in Eastern Wales in the United Kingdom. Nick, you'll be on next hour also, as I recall, with the mid-morning coffee break with Adam. Can you give our listeners a preview of some of the anecdotes and other interesting tales that you'll be sharing with us?
No. I'm going to have to work them out in the 10 minutes in between times. I've been off shopping all morning. It's just been a mad day here. It's super hot. I'm dying. Oh, and now I've got a real-life phone call going on in the background, so I'm going to have to drop out for a minute.
Okay, no problem. Just go ahead and take your call. We'll go ahead and talk about some more IT news and be back with Nick maybe later this hour or more than likely next hour as part of the mid-morning coffee break with Adam discussing anything and everything. Again, feel free to chime in here. You can call and talk a tech topic of your choice. Maybe you have a question about the computer at your home or office. Maybe your server is only serving you headaches, and maybe your printer is printing gibberish, or you had a question or comment or insight, complaint, what have you, about some of the topics that were discussed between Nick and myself or other callers. This is the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, a twice-weekly feature on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. As you probably know, we've talked about this on several shows, the United States government is making it more difficult for companies to hire talent from other countries, with a cap on expedited visas for highly skilled workers and a pending plan to overhaul the H-1B visa program. Now, with that in mind, our neighbors to the north, Canada, are testing new and speedier visas. Yesterday, the Canadian government started its new program to issue work permits and temporary resident visas in 2 weeks instead of the normal time of 1 year. Now, this two-year pilot program, part of a global skills program that was first announced last year, will be available to innovative companies seeking highly skilled workers. Now, this is the latest attempt by Canada to lure these high-tech businesses north of the border. They're also experimenting with looser regulations, tax breaks, and rebranding. Later this year, Ontario will launch an ad campaign targeting Silicon Valley decision makers and workers. Brad Duguide, who is Ontario's Minister of Economic Development and Growth, said, "It is not for us to criticize the administration. It, for us, is to recognize an opportunity when we see it. The current direction of the administration, which appears to look more inward than outward, is in stark contrast to what we believe is the direction we want to go in." Nick is back with us after attending to a customer there in the United Kingdom. Did you hear that story, Nick, about Canada expediting some H-1B visas to get more smart tech people north of the border?
No, I missed that. I'm sorry, I was on the phone. No, it's we've done that here. I mean, a lot of our migration is on the same basis, but it's very difficult, isn't it, to decide whether you use a point scoring or what to actually choose who you allow to come in.
Yeah, it's tricky. I mean, we want to be strict about who enters the country, but if it's a skilled tech worker, that person can be very beneficial to us and very profitable. So it's a tricky matter, and certainly there's no question that this administration is not handling this like previous administrations, and that's certainly a topic of controversy.
Yeah, the only country I know that does it well is Australia, and they work on a points system. So basically, for, you know, every exam you passed in school, you get a point, and for every degree you get 3 points, and then they tote them all up, and then they tote up how much money you've got in the bank and decide whether you're coming in or not.
Especially since right now it's the winter solstice in Australia, one of the coldest times of the year. So an Australian lucky enough to come to the great United States of America would be going from winter to summer in the course of a 24-hour plane ride. So a further incentive to do that.
You'd want some incentive to go from, to go from winter to summer would be nice. Go the other way around, it'd be not very nice. Yeah,
I'd be totally confused that you travel on the other side of the globe and suddenly the seasons totally change. That would definitely throw me.
And the water goes down the plug hole the other way as well.
Yeah, I would probably think I was in a time warp of some kind, or a brain warp, but I think I would figure it out.
Yeah.
Almost time to wrap up another episode of the very famous and always fun Adam the Computer Guy radio show. We have Nick from Wales joining us for part of the conversation. And again, Nick will be back in about 15 minutes for the next show, which is called Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam. Now, during that show, you can talk computer topics, that's fine, but anything and everything, even controversial topics, again, abortion, school prayer, gay rights, environment, politics, Democrat versus Republican, any of that stuff is acceptable. On the next hour, a little controversy never hurts. And again, Nick will certainly have some anecdotes and stories to share with us as we visit with him by the power and magic of the Internet. Any final words, Nick, to close out the Adam the Computer Guy show?
Just a happy summer solstice to everybody that's not going to be listening in the next hour that I won't get to give the happy summer solstice wishes to. And if it hadn't been for Adam the Computer Guy show, I wouldn't even know it was happening. So there we are. It's worth listening in.
It sounds like a plan. Thank you very much, Nick. We'll connect back with you in about 15, 18 minutes or so as part of the Mid-Morning Coffee Break experience. Coming up next, we have the 10 a.m. features at the top of the hour. News and weather with our program manager, Scott. Obituaries, which are voiced and produced by yours truly. Messages from our valued sponsors, underwriters, and supporters. And last but not least, teasers of shows past, present, and future. We do that every hour. On the Talking Place, top of the hour features. And then again, it's Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam, a new and temporary show here on the Talking Place, WWGH. Want to remind you that 2017 registration for Marion Midget Football and Cheerleading is taking place. The next event will be tomorrow between 5:30 and 7 p.m. at Lincoln Park. So tomorrow and Thursday, 5:30 to 7 at Lincoln Park, ages 8 to 12, tackle football and cheerleading, $30 fee and birth certificate required. King and Queen sign up, also taking place. That is a $10 fee, all ages. And again, we are owned by Marion Midget Football. Scott is our program director, but also the president of Marion Midget Football, so this is very near and dear to us, and we encourage you to get involved. Adam Lepp here, thanking you for listening. Please stay tuned for the next hour when I'll be having Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam between approximately 10:13 a.m. and 11. And then it's Linda right after 11. AdamTheComputerGuy.com.